Good morning. Good morning. We're yes. Okay. So I just want to. We have a footnote to our discussion last time, right? Remember, what was it? Go ahead.
Also, we were discussing that the a progression of whether when it comes to slavery, many authorities versus one authority. We said that when there's multiple authorities like the government, so it's not such a the severity of shibud is not so much. However, when you go to one master, so then that was it's much stronger than just that there's many multiple. So someone brought out that what about in Mitzrayim? Was it just the government and the shibud would not be so bad?
Right. We had Yosef. When Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, we went through the stages. Remember last time we learned in Perek Aleph about the stages from Yishmael, who's in the house of Avram, but from Mitzrayim. So Yosef goes to him, and from him to the Seichrim, who are Yishmaelim, whose job it is to transfer. From there to the Midyanim, who are from the house of Avram originally, but were thrown out of the house of Avram, and have the other side from Mitzrayim, from Hagar, and then to Mitzrayim, transitional. And in Mitzrayim, there were two phases in the end, which was that Yosef first was sold to the government for Tzarchei Tzibur, and then he was sold privately to Potiphar, where the Maral explained that when a person has many masters, they are not as enslaved as when they have one single authority to whom they have accountability. And that's we talked about that whole notion of Echad and so on as real Kabbalah's Ol. So somebody asked, what about in Mitzrayim? Did the Jewish people, when they were there as a nation, forget Yosef, the next stage, which Yosef was a harbinger for, when they really came to Mitzrayim, did they go from being public slaves to private slaves?
If you look at the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Shmos, so he actually does say that originally it was Paro, and it was under the authority of Malchus Mitzrayim, but then Paro gave the... He gave a decree that any Mitzri could actually take a Yid and do his own work for him. So you would again have that second stage of being the one master.
Yeah, it's mamish beautiful. The Ramban says that's exactly what happened over there in the Shibud Mitzrayim, you know, without referencing this Chazal, he just says it independently. That's exactly the transition which occurred there, so that matches beautifully with this idea of the Maral. Okay, so that's a note to tidy up Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Beis, we progress from Yosef, and which was the subject of Perek Yud Aleph, was the how Yosef himself got down to Mitzrayim, and how you know that's just again a sign of the Hashkachas Hashem of how Klal Yisrael gets down to Mitzrayim. Perek Yud Beis, he leapfrogs from Yosef coming down to Mitzrayim. He does not spend much time here on the details of the story of Yosef and his brothers in Mitzrayim. He goes right away to the beginning of Sefer Shmos and to the actual enslavement of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And the enslavement of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim you have to deal with. I shouldn't say he goes right to the beginning of Parsha Shmos. In a certain sense, he starts with the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, very briefly, what Chazal say in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, that Kivan Shemes Yaakov Avinu Nisnumu Einayim V'Libam Shel Yisrael Mitzaras Hashibud. It says the Parsha of Vayechi does not have the usual break, space, that separates it from Parshas Vayigash. In the Sefer Torah, it's not as noticeable where Vayechi starts. Usually, there's a break, not even between Parshas HaShavua, but between Parshios. Vayechi is a new parsha, a new section, but nevertheless, it's not separated. And so why is this parsha stuma? So the Chazal says, Rashi quotes, because Vayechi is about the death of Yaakov Avinu, and with the death of Yaakov Avinu, the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people became themselves stuma, closed, blocked, because of the difficulty of the shibud, of the slavery. So that's the stimus. That's the blocking. So that's the first stage that we have described of the Shibud, with the death of Yaakov Avinu. What the Maharal is going to be speaking about here is two things in this perek, primarily. One is the difficulties and how the difficulties became mounting for the Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, the stages of that, and he's also going to speak about the prolific growth of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. The notion of v'chasher yanu leisai kein yirbe v'chein yifreitz, that the more they were afflicted, the more they grew, and the fantastic things which Chazal say about six bekeres echot, shisha bekeres echot, six sextuplets and 60 tuplets and all these kinds of things which Chazal tell us about the incredible growth which the Jewish people experienced in Mitzrayim. So again, he's moving from the story, from the roots of the story, from the Gzeira, from Yosef and the transition, to now speak about actually the beginnings of the Shibud. So we have a couple of phases to this perek, as usual. And let's start from the beginning. Maral established before that Yaakov himself would not be Meshubad. In fact, Yaakov himself didn't even belong in Golus. When you have an aspect of the Avais, you know, the original Avais, in a certain sense there's a certain invulnerability, there's a certain untouchability. And that's why, the Maral explained earlier, a few Prakim ago, that Klal Yisrael could only go into Golus once they had the number of Shivim Nefesh, of 70 souls. Maral goes over this as well at the end of the previous Perek, that at the end of Perek Yadav, we did not discuss it last week, but again, we don't always hit every drop. But remember the idea which he said, a very interesting idea, that we know Yatzev Gevulais Amim L'Mispar B'nei Yisrael, when Hashem established the borders of nations, the numbers of nations, it corresponds to the number internally within the B'nai Yisrael, within the Jewish people. There were 70 souls who went down to Mitzrayim, corresponding to the 70 nations. So the Maral says that that's the first point of connection, of relationship between Yisrael and Umay Sa'ilam. Here, Klal Yisrael is defined somehow in relationship and in contrast to the Umay Sa'ilam. And therefore, that really invites relationship, quote-unquote, with the Umay Sa'ilam, and makes the Jewish people subject to Shibut, to the Umay Sa'ilam. But before we reach that stage, the number 12 of the 12 Shvatim is not Shaykh to the Umay Sa'ilam. Certainly the one of the Avos is not Shaykh, is not connected to the nations of the world. And therefore, we did not yet have vulnerability to the Umay Sa'ilam at that stage, at that point in our existence. It was only as the Shivim Nefesh. And Maral says, a Chiddush, nice idea, that he says that in truth, Yaakov did go down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov did go down to Golos. But he only went as part of the Shivim Nefesh. He didn't go on his own. And which is why, the Maral said, when Yaakov Avinu died, so he was no longer part of the Shivim Nefesh, he was now on his own, he immediately went back to Eretz Yisrael. They immediately took his remains to Eretz Yisrael. The Shvatim were a little bit less removed from Shibud, so their remains, the Yud Beis Shvatim, didn't stay in Mitzrayim. Right? They also went down together with the Shivim Nefesh, but when they died, they were set aside to return to Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't immediately return to Eretz Yisrael. So they weren't amongst those who were left in the Golos, but they weren't amongst those who had a zero tolerance for staying in the Golos. Understand? This is sort of the way he phases it in there.
So
they
took, it wasn't just Atmos Yosef, it was Atmos everyone?
They took, yeah. It says, the Pasuk says, Valisem esas meisai itchem. So Rashi says that they took the Atmos of all the Shvatim. The Pasuk explicitly only speaks about Atmos Yosef. Atmos Yosef was what was notable, and was, again, was even the biggest Chiddush, because Yosef was Mr. Mitzrayim, but nevertheless, the Chazal understand that all of the remains of the Shvatim returned to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so phase one, because we have this sort of ambiguity or duality that Yaakov Avinu wasn't really Shayach to Golos, but at the same time, as part of the Shivim Nefesh, he went down to the Golos. So, but being part of them, he's also to some degree a saving grace. Whatever resistance he has to being in Golos will therefore defer on some level the national troubles of the Jewish people. Okay, you know, so this is very cheshbonic. This is sort of, you know, very pieces. It's not like black and white. The Golos comes in gradually in phases. And says the Maral, understandably, if Yaakov himself is to some degree as one of the Avos not subject to Golos, he's only there as part of the Shivim Nefesh, but even as part of the Shivim Nefesh, his presence is a mitigating factor. And therefore, while Yaakov was alive, they didn't even start the Tzaras HaShibut. They didn't even start the difficulties of the Shibut. When Yaakov Inu died, there was the beginning of Shibut and for the Jewish people. Now we know that as long as the Yud Beis Shvatim were alive, remember Rashi brings as well in Chumash, Lama Nimnu Shneisa Shel Levi. Why does it tell you the years that Levi lived? Right, exceptionally, it tells you the years of Levi because Levi outlived the rest of the Shvatim, and as long as Levi was alive, so there was one of the Shvatim that was alive, so they did not begin the Shibud in deference to the Shvatim. What do you mean? It says once Yaakov Inu died, already Nismei Neim V'Libam. So again, it says Maral, stages. There wasn't Shibud B'Kvius, that's the language of the Maral. It wasn't like fixed as a Shibud, as long as any of the Shvatim were alive. So, again, Yaakov Avinu was removed from Shibud. He, as soon as he died and separated from the Ayin Nefesh, immediately goes back to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael. While he's alive, there can be no Shibud. When he dies, the beginnings of Shibud can come to the Shivim Nefesh. But the Yud Beis Shvatim, also themselves, as Yud Beis Shvatim, they couldn't go into Golos. But the Yud Beis Shvatim could also go as part of the Shivim. When the Yud Beis Shvatim died, they didn't go back immediately to Eretz Yisrael because they're not as resistant as Yaakov Avinu is to Shibud. They're not as great, not as independent, not as connected to Hashem, and therefore less connect, not subject to the whims of the Umayyads. And therefore, when they died, they were put in aside to be eventually removed from Mitzrayim, but not immediately. And as long as they were alive, the Shibud was not Bikvius. But when they died, the Shibud became Bikvius. Okay, so you understand all the phases. Now what's the next phase? The next phase is where it goes from Kvius to being bitter. A bitter Shibud. And he says, when did that start? So here again we resort to a Chazal. This Chazal, I don't believe is brought by Rashi, right? But Chazal say that Miriam was called Miriam al Shem Vayimaru Es Chayeim. Miriam was called Miriam because of the bitterness, the maror, the bitterness which the Egyptians imposed upon the Bnei Yisrael, imposed upon the Jewish people. That was her name. Okay? Kirena Li Mara. Right? She was her name was bitterness. So say Chazal, what's the idea? Why then does the bitterness begin? That's issue number one. Issue number two, which I was going to discuss here, is why is it that Bnei Yisrael Paru Vayishetsu Vayirbu Vayatzmu is after Vayamas Yosef V'chol Achav V'chol Hadarahu? In the beginning of Parsha Shmos, it describes Yosef and all of his brothers died, and then it describes the Bnei Yisrael multiplying together with the Mitzrim making life difficult for the Jewish people, right? And there's already a growth that's described before Vayasimol of Sarimisim, before the bitterness of the exile. So how do these phases work? Only after the whole Dor dies, does the growth of the Jewish people start? The magnificent growth of the Jewish people start, and then you have Miriam, and then you have the affliction, which is the characteristic of the time of Miriam, and then it becomes exponential, the growth of the Jewish people. So, again, right, we have here a lot of pieces to this. And again, this is not necessarily the typical perek of the Gvuras, it's a little bit more typical of the Gvuras. Then it's not the typical parak of the Maral, where there's a, you know, he has to address with the happenings here, piece by piece. So, Maral here says a beautiful, elegant musag, a beautiful, elegant idea. And he says like this, that growth has a tendency, right, we have, where we grow into something. When we reach a certain level that we were growing towards, then we have a tendency to plateau. Right? That's human nature. That's the way things work. When something reaches a shlemus, a completeness, so then, okay, we're there. We're arrived. Right? The growth does not begin. The growth does not continue in the same way at that point. Says the Maral, Yaakov Avinu built a family, and it was a family of, and it grew into a family of Shivim Nefesh. Shivim Nefesh was a plateau. It was a shlemus. It was a wholeness to the family. That was when they became able to correspond to the Mesailam. Let's not get distracted by the fact that the Maral says that when that happened, oh, now we became subject to the Shibud because 70 people, like the 70 nations, and so now we're subject to them. It's not a good thing. No, of course it's not. Of course it is a good thing. It's a good thing which brings, thrusts Klal Yisrael into the community of nations, and therefore the side effect of that is that now you become subject to Golus with the nations. But it's moving Klal Yisrael into a certain level. When Klal Yisrael reaches Shivim Nefesh, there's a certain wholeness to that number. Right? The 70 has a wholeness to it. And therefore, at that stage, when they were the nation of the 70, we don't look to the next frontier, which is to grow way, way beyond that to the Shishim Ribay, to the 600,000 Jews. Now we're here as the Shivim Nefesh. We came down to Mitzrayim as the Shivim Nefesh. Only when, Vayomas Yosef, Cholacha v'chol ador ahu, when we could see that period defined by the Shivim Nefesh ending, then, now it's time for the new level. Now it's time to seek the new plateau, to go for the next riser, you know, in the on the summit. When Klal Yisrael was defined by the Shivim Nefesh that came down to Mitzrayim, the growth beyond that was not really the matter of the day, was not really the agenda item of the day. That comes when you are out of a misgeret, of a framework that's yimad v'yisafer, that has a certain number and a certain boundary. You know, mispar is the term also of svar, of limit. Right? Numbers are the same word as boundaries and limits. Right? When they are developing into a certain number, it stops there. It stops there. Now, it's time to grow into the next number, which is the number of the Shishim Ribay. The words of the Maral, he says it in a quotable quote. Ki adavar she'enai sholem ve'enai bepoyel ha'lech u'mishtoichek lotzeis el apoyel. Something which is incomplete and hasn't reached its full kinetic energy, so it has that drive to reach its completeness and to reach its fullest number. So when the Jewish people achieved Shivim Nefesh, and that's a number, and a defined number, and a whole number, in terms of these, you know, these plateaus, these stages, so they weren't growing so much. But when the Shivim Nefesh died, and that stage of completeness of existence as a complete unit of Shivim Nefesh ended, now they became ready and anxious and active to move to the next phase. So Purim V'Ravim begins after Vayomas Yosef V'chol Achav V'chol Hadarahu, and we're ready to move to the fuller stage, the stage of Shleimus.
Just one more thing, I don't know if he brings it out, but if you look at that type of concept, let's say biologically, if you have a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, it has to deteriorate and then become the new Bria. You have the same thing with an apple, let's say the seed deteriorates and then becomes a new Bria. And here I think what he's saying is that the Shvatim had to die, so you no longer had that definition, so they had to decline Kaviyacho to grow into the new thing. I don't know if he says it or not.
He doesn't say it here. He doesn't say it here. He speaks about that Nusach, he speaks with that Nusach in the Netzach Yisrael, where he speaks about the Golus and the difficulties before Golus. And the Velt says it on what we say in Shmona Esrei, which is Melech Memis Umechaya, he brings death followed by life, Umatzmiach Yeshua. What's the term Matzmiach? Exactly what you said. Smicha is blossoming. Blossoming of a seed comes after Rekovain, after the seed has to first degenerate and decompose, and then it grows up again. And we see Tchias HaMesim to some degree that way, the same thing, as is explained by Ramchal and others, that the body, the way it is not roy for the light, for the eternal light and the eternal chayim of Tchias HaMesim. It has to decompose and come again, which is where the Gemara says that a graveyard is like a field. Right? You plant bodies in the ground so that they will decompose and grow again and come back in a fuller form.
It doesn't seem really faint because it doesn't really follow the other station there. He was Yaakovino and Avram, the others were one, but we don't say, oh, we're one, we can't have 12 until the one is raised. We say, oh, now we're 12, but we don't, can't have 70 while the 12 are around. You know, they had no problem going from 1 to 12 to 70.
Yes and no. Yes and no. There's a reality that the Avais didn't function as Avais in the lifetime of their, in the active lifetime of their fathers. Of course, Yitzchak was around when Avraham Avinu was around, but it seemed much more sharply, just as an indication of it. Did the Emois meet their daughters-in-law? Sarah never met Rivka. Rivka never met Rachel and Leah. When does somebody become an Av? You can't become an Av before you get married, right? I mean, not our of us, right? You can't become an Av before you get married, right? So Yitzchak's beginning into becoming an Av, you know, happens to a certain degree when Avraham Avinu ceases to be an Av, right? Rivka goes and occupies the tent of Sarah, right? Vayivyer Yitzchak ha'ayala Sarah imai. So there's only one Av at a time, right? Yaakov Avinu went and had the Shvatim while Yitzchak and Rivka were still alive, but he did it in a different place, in a completely different place. When he comes back, they hear about the death of Rivka. I mean, they hear about the death of, I mean, whatever, however Chazal darshan it. There's a certain discrete staging for them, you know, for each one to do it. Of course, they have to have the children and do so. And in a certain sense, you know, when the Shvatim, you know, come into their own, you see that tension with Yaakov Avinu. When Shimon and Levi act on their own, right, without Yaakov Avinu, fireworks. Right? Yosef, where it's more of a developmental thing, he has to be wrenched away from Yaakov in order to grow into this thing. Havai, Navai, Aniv, Imchavi, Achechol, Ishtachavai, Slucho, Arta. Yaakov Avinu, in a certain sense, has to go through a death. I mean, we're doing fast forward over here on these ideas. Right? But Yaakov Avinu has to go through a death. Yaakov Avinu was considered dead when Yosef left. And then, Vatchirach Yaakov Avinu, and then he comes back to life. Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. It's like a new phasing. So it's not simple that they were able to grow into, you know, that phase completely without a certain level of nituk, without a certain level of separation.
Also, it's just strange because, you know, when would you say that the 70 becomes broken? So you would say, I would have said, you know, when one dies or maybe when two dies. It's a little strange to say that we only consider the 70 to be broken when 13 die.
The chol hador hahu.
But that's not,
he says in a sense it's broken when that generation is gone. The generation was defined by the 70. That's why the Maral says it over here. The generation which is defined, the chol hador hahu, then they can start as a new generation with a new horizon.
Isn't that saying that the other ones from the 70 died?
Yeah, the pasuk says vayamas Yosef v'chol echav v'chol hador hahu. What does that mean? By definition, if all of his brothers died, that's the entire generation.
Right.
So what does it mean, Dar Hahu? It doesn't mean generation literally on the family tree. It means, I think, the Dar of the Boy Ha'aretz, the Boy Mitzrayim. the Shivim Nefesh.
That's pretty difficult because the age gap is so large between the oldest and the youngest. I mean, it couldn't be
even Yecheved, right? Right, 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 right. So okay, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's not so literal, but it was considered, however, was the end of the generation. Was it the pasuk? What does the pasuk mean when it says V'chol Adar Ahu? So whatever it means, now there were an exception who lived longer and so on, but the Priya Ruvia had to be seen as the mandate now of a new generation, the generation beyond the Shiva.
The Chevet was transitional. You could say she's in both.
Right.
Bein HaChayim.
There were others.
Others too, but I mean, you don't define them. You define them by.
But yes, but the real growth started when the Dar was considered God. Okay, Rubik, Akule, I don't know how to define it. Now, okay. So, but then, that's already described before any affliction. Right? So the Maral has explained that the idea was there was a certain gate around the Shivim Nefesh, and the gate came down to grow beyond that when they went, when that door died. But now what happens? So the Mitzrim react by afflicting the Jewish people more severely, and as a result of that affliction, the Jewish people grow exponentially. They grow even more. So what's happening here? What's happening here? And remember again that other piece of Miriam, of this affliction of Miriam being associated with the generation of affliction. So the Maral explains as follows. He says that a beautiful thing. He says, why is it true that v'chasher yanu eisei ken yirbe v'chen yifretz? That the more they were afflicted, the greater they grew. He says, Klal Yisrael has two components. We have our physical bodies. We live in the material world. We're a nation with that whole side to ourselves. Sorry? Second door from the wall. I'm sorry. So he says that the we have our physical being, our physical component, and then Kol Yisrael, right, has a Koyach Eloki. We have a divine power within us. We have an neshama, a Koyach Eloki. So he says, the more physical we were, the less the divine strength shows up. And you know, that's always the principle. Kishazek comes and noifel. When the physical is strong, the spiritual has a tendency to be weak. We learn this principle in many, many different ways, in many different places, right? The Chavis Halvavis famously says this. Kefi sheyarbe. The way, to the extent that the physical grows, that's the way the seichel, what he calls, is choreif, is undermined. The reason why we give such kavod for zakenim, for our elders, the Maral explains in many places, is because, given that their physical drives have quieted down a little bit, it allows them to be more built on chachma. Says the Maral, when they tried to suppress Klal Yisrael physically, so then what's left of Klal Yisrael? If you're a nation that's a physical nation, so then if you get oppressed and brought down physically, so then there's nothing left. But if you're a nation that at the core has a Koyach Eloki, but you also have physical strength, then when the physical strength is reduced, so it unleashes, it removes a barrier of the physicality that tends to surround and to some degree suppress the Koyach Eloki that's within, the neshama that's within. This actually caused it to unload, to really, really let go.
Wasn't the impression also in Whitney's plane? I mean, it was designed, giving different jobs, different genders. It wasn't simply just
demoralization. Right, but demoralization is not necessarily simply spiritual. It's not the same thing exactly. It's something, anybody would be demoralized by having the wrong job. You know, it's not the Koyach Eloki necessarily that's just there on the person. Psychology is not koyach eloki, and Paro was very good at psychological warfare, right, in terms of demoralizing the Jewish people. Does it make it harder for the koyach eloki to come out? The way we experience the koyach eloki, yes. The supernatural koyach eloki, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. You're saying the suppressed is physically, but yet we exploded physically. And number two is we know we eventually went down to Menta Shari Tuma. So what kind of spiritual level were they on? Unless
right.
They were on a higher
Again, there's the that's something that I was trying to say with this, which is that there's the conscious, the demoralization, the psychological demoralization does make it harder for us to focus on spiritual things, without question. When you're dealing with the conscious part of the koyach eloki of being more spiritual, you know, by the elder, he'll tell you the same thing. I've said this word many times in front of elderly people and they roll their eyes. Right? Why? Because sometimes, with the attendant difficulties of age, they're also, a certain degree, distracted from being able to focus on spiritual matters. But there's also something which is just there, even if it's not part of the conscious, which is that we are physical beings and spiritual beings together, and the stronger the physical part of ourselves is, the more it can be pointed to, the more it's there, the more it eclipses the spiritual. The less it's there, the more you would look and say, there's a spiritual being there. Now, is that spiritual being able to express itself consciously by tremendous spiritual growth? Yeah, Klal Yisrael dropped to the Mentes Shari Tuma. But there was still something, that part of them that was Eloki, shows up when the Gufni is reduced.
How did the Gufni increase when they were under suppression? That's an ace.
So that's the idea. It brought Birchas Elokim. Because they were, the Koyach Eloki was there, that's the way he learns that brought the Birchas Elokim to grow, in a certain sense, even in the physical manifestation.
Weren't all the aspects of all of the goddesses included in the shrine? You know, so what happened to Golos Yavan should have been there also.
What do you mean?
Golos Yavan, I mean, with the tekanas against the different mitzvahs and the spiritual oppression. But it doesn't sound like you're describing.
Yeah, there's an aspect that was there as well. We have the Chazal described at a certain point. There's a point where we had Shabbos, then they took away from us Shabbos. Those were there too. So, Shibud leads to a further explosion. That's what the Maral has explained, because it has reduced the physical component of Yisrael and therefore opened up the spiritual component. And Shibud became intense when Miriam was born. So here again, I'm telling you, this is a piecemeal explanation. This is not like one overarching theme to the Perek. Why, says the Maral, because Miriam is part of the Geula. Miriam is one of the three people who led the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Miriam was the leader of the women, right? Maisha, Aaron, and Miriam. These were the three who led Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. When the Goyeles, when the Redeemer is born, so then what happens? That ups the ante. Then, you know, things become more intense, because the potential for them leaving has just come in, so now they get more anxious and try to put it down. And that's the Miriam, Al Shem Vayimaru Es Chayeim. They were reaching this sort of climax. Miriam, because of Hefech Gaivar Al Hefech, as the Maral says, right, the opposites tend to oppose each other, one very strongly towards the other. That's the way he explains it. Yeah, go ahead, explain.
Because that was the time when they started drawing the babies into the river.
Right. So the Maral references exactly that event, but what he says, which makes it a little harder for me to understand, the exact comparison. He says, but as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu was born, they stopped. Or as soon as, not Moshe Rabbeinu was born, but as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Ya'ar, as soon as he was thrown into the river, we say Mi'adiv Rim Zed, there was nobody else who was thrown into the Ya'ar, into the river, after that. Because there was no longer the opposition. It was done, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was already a fait accompli, so therefore the opposition wasn't there. That's what he explained. It's not exactly the same by Miriam. It grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, starting with her birth. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it happened around his birth and intensified in the first months of his life, but then once it was done, it was finished.
So they knew he was there, but they couldn't figure out who he was, even, especially since he grew up under their noses.
Right. Now we get to the fun part. The fun part is the description of how the Jewish people grew so exponentially, which is, you know what Chazal say? Might we say the Kham version, which is Shisha Bekeres Echad, right? Rashi brings that one. And then, but in the Medrash it says V'yeshayim, some say 12 Bekeres Echad. We don't even have a word for that. And then there are those who say 60 Bekeres Echad. I believe there's even a version of Shishim Ribay. But what does this mean? 6 Bekeres Echad? Okay, happens. 12 Bekeres Echad? 60 Bekeres Echad? Like, what are we going at over here? What's the theme? What's the idea? So the Maral, Kedarkoi Bakodesh, goes through this in two phases, in two mahalchim. The first mahalach is super practical, almost like you wouldn't expect the Maral to do. And the second mahalach is much more typical, the Maral dealing with it from a numerological perspective. And at the end, he speaks about how practical this is. In other words, we're going to speak about this from a conceptual Shishim Bekeres Echad, where at the end, the Maral is going to get to the question, the $600,000 question, which is, how do you fit 60 babies into a tummy?
Conceptually difficult.
Okay, so very good. So the Maral first explains his first draft is like this, that Chol Yisrael grew kasher yanu esay, to the extent that they were afflicted. And how were we afflicted? We were afflicted 6 days a week. Chol Yisrael was meshubet 6 days a week. He brings what Chazal say, that when Moshe came before Paray, he said, Paray, it's not practical, you're crazy. People can't work constantly without interruption. How can a person work, mazal tamid b'li hesek, v'yamar g'aybentan, how can you do without giving them some kind of a break? So Paray said, okay, choose one day. And Moshe Rabbeinu chose Shabbos. And Chazal say, that's what we say every Shabbos morning, Yismach Moshe b'manas chelkai. Moshe Rabbeinu rejoices in the portion that he was given, because he managed to get the Jewish people a break for Shabbos. So they worked for 6 days. So it says, well, if they worked for 6 days, and the growth is corresponding to the work, so then there you have it. Six Bekeres Echad. Corresponding to the 6 days of work, you have 6 children being born. The 12, says the Maral, well, we have a notion of ki mishneh schar sachir avadcha shei shanim. Right, when we say by an eved ivri, right, he worked for you actually double that of a worker, because he worked for you in the daytime and he worked for you at night. So he says, Klal Yisrael also, they worked in the night. Right, they didn't work 24 hours a day. But he says, from when the rooster crowed, they were out there. So they were doing part of the night in the beginning of the day, part of the night at the end of the day. So they were really working Mishneh Schar Sachir. So it's actually not 6 units of time, but it's could be considered 12 units of time. Whereas the other one says 60, because if you want to speak about real growth, so it's always going to be with a multiple of 10. And he says that's ribui. He even makes a point that he says that having one at a time isn't ribui. And if it's because of the work of 6 days, then it should be at least 7. Right? You know, like, you know, the first one is normal. right? So where do you get that from, right? Like the Beis Yosef's Kasha on Hanukkah, yeah. Right? Why 8 days if the first day was natural? So that's what he says is first draw. But then he says the Ikra Dover, the main thing you have to look at from a sense of numbers, and he says a very beautiful, simple idea here. Before he gets to the Shisha, which is going to be, you know, sort of familiar type of numerology of the Maharal, he says you have to understand that we know that what Klal Yisrael is going to grow into is Shishim Ribai, right? 600,000 or 60 multitudes, what the Torah calls. So if that's what Klal Yisrael as a whole is going to grow into, because that number is significant for Am Yisrael, so when you look at Prote Yisrael, when you look at the individuals within Klal Yisrael, so it should also follow that scheme. It should also be the Shishim or the Shisha. If the number of Shishim Ribai is significant, of course not everybody's going to have Shishim Ribai, but if that number is significant for whatever reason, which we're going to discuss shortly, for Klal Yisrael, then it also becomes significant for Prat Yisrael. Becomes significant as well for the individual of Klal Yisrael to also produce in such a way.
And the ones who stay behind, were they included in that? I don't know.
But in the general structure of the Klal Yisrael, the Yetzer Mitzrayim, right? This was the magic number, and magic number suitable for them. And he says even the one who says 12. When you say 12, you know what it is. When you say 12, it's 6 times 2, it's 6 boys and 6 girls. Right? In fact, in the previous piece, he suggested, in other words, when he said this idea of working day and night, he said that corresponding to the day, day is like Zohar, the Shemesh, the sun is male to the moon's female, right? The sun gives light to the moon, just like in the male-female relationship, the male gives, the female accepts. So he says, presumably, if it was for day and night, it was 6 boys and 6 girls that way. That's the way the Maharal said it before. Here, he says it even more so, because before he wasn't focused on the number 6, he was focused on the units of work. So this one says 6 units of work, this one says 12 units of work. Here he's saying it's all around 6. 12 is really just 6 pairs. Right? Shiva, Shiva, Zohar and Nekeva. Right, like Nayak brought to the table, it's 6 pairs. That's what it is. So what's the idea of 6? Says the Maharal, again this is already familiar language. He says Klal Yisrael is Uma Yechida. Klal Yisrael is Goy Echad Baaretz. We are the single nation in the land, the one nation in the land, the unified nation in the land. There's a certain Achdus, a unity, which also is a certain wholeness that needs to be there for Klal Yisrael in this world. And when you look at something in this world, when do you look at a whole? If I look at this table and I say, here, no, this is just one end of the table. Right? The table is a three-dimensional item. And anything which exists in this world, when you want to look at the whole thing, what do you have to see? You have to see the three dimensions. Yes. And the three dimensions have 6 poles, right? Like a cube that has 6 sides. That's the fullness of that which is there in the physical world. That's why you have 6 days of creation, right? That's why you have 6 days of work, right, during the week. That's all part of it. So he says, Klal Yisrael as a unit of Shleimus, as a unit of completeness, needed to be 6. 600,000. 6 Bikaris Echad. That's the wholeness. That's to show that Klal Yisrael are sholem, not chelki. That we're not little piece here, little piece there, but there's a wholeness, the whole box, not a little corner, not a small edge. Right? And he says that's why Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is 6 words. Right? What are you supposed to think of when you say Hashem Echad? You know what it says in the halacha, what a person is supposed to think of, say Hashem Echad? Hashem is the one and only to the four sides, Yama Vakedma Tzafayna Vanegba, and up and down, right? The six directions. So there, where you think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Mekayim Shel Olam, the one and only of the whole world, of all the six directions of the world, we say the statement in six words. Elegant. Right? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And so, says the Maharal, that was the sort of sense of completeness of Klal Yisrael that had to be there. Now, I've told you innumerable times, pun intended, that I have a very hard time understanding exactly when we use the number 6 or the number 4 or the number 2, right? You know, because there are two, sometimes we view everything as having created the world as two sides, right? 4, Arba Kanfei Sa'aretz, the 400 years of the Golos, and all of that stuff, and sometimes you have 6. Sometimes you have 3 as a number of completion. Sometimes you have 5 as a number of completion. Sometimes you have 7 as a number of completion. Sometimes you have 10 as a number of completion. I can't explain to you. I don't understand exactly when we choose which sequence, when we choose which stage. But the meaning of the stage that the Maharal teaches is that Shisha has a system to it, that it's a certain full, deep wholeness that's there in the world. And then, from there, that's where you go. So in the big, it's Shishim Ribay. In the smaller, it's the 6 Bekeres Echad. And the, what do you get, 60? So again, the easy way is, multiply it. But Maharal does it even more, a little bit more elaborately. Right? You may struggle with it a little bit, but it will be easier with this box. And he says, if you're really looking at a three-dimensional item, so in one sense you can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? Just you have the 6 panels. But each panel has its own size. And if you wanted to really draw the panel, you would certainly make 1, 2, 3, 4, right? You certainly, square it out. But if you want it to be a whole panel, you not only have end points, but you also have midpoints, right? 3 is always mechaber. So the way he pictures it, if you have the Maharal, you see he shows a picture, a grid of 3, 3, 3, right? You do 1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, right? That's the way you would do it. And by the way, if you would want to probably build a cage, that's probably exactly what you would do, right? You wouldn't want to just have the ends. You'd have it sort of like filled in, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and that's the grid.
There's a 9 points.
And that's the 9. You can put it on my desk. Thank you. You 9, and he says, and then there's the 1, which is like the whole, right? Is it one panel? So he says, really, each side is its own 10. Right? To have a single dimension, to look at that, a single side of something, its fullness, you would see it as 10. Okay, I don't know. You have to think in a certain way in order to get this. But that's I don't know if the Maharal uses this hesber of the Shleimus of 10 elsewhere. This is where Rabbi Hartman would help. But this is somewhere where he explains. He speaks all over about the Shleimus of 10. I don't even think he mentions this hesber in the fifth parak of Avos, where he has major discussion of these numbers and of the tens and others. Okay, but that's the general idea, the way he has it. So it would be the 60, or the 6, or the 12, which is the 6 complete pairs that would be able to produce it. But there's yet a fourth opinion in Chazal. And the fourth opinion in Chazal was not 6, not 12, not 60, but like kanim. Right? That's the language of the last opinion, Chazal Rav Nosson. It says, "Vatimoy ha'aretzoysam," the land became filled with them. It doesn't speak about the stomach. Kechushim shel kanim, like bamboo shoots. Right? Anybody ever see bamboo grow? Bamboo grows mamish, right? I mean, I have it though from people who their neighbors have bamboo, right? It's like it's a tremendous, tremendous growth. Yes, I'm not talking about this that idea that it takes so many years for it to power.
It's dense,
and that was vatimale horetz aysam. That's how the land became filled with them. And says Maharal, well, that opinion doesn't want to give it any number. Right? A number is in itself, to some degree, limiting. And with all the Shishim Ribay of Kol Yisrael, but we also have this notion of Kechaychei HaShamayim L'Rayv, of Asher L'Yimad V'Lo Yisafer. There's something which is beyond numbers. And you always have to work it out, because there's never, was never a period in Kali Yisrael's history where they literally could not be counted. They were counted. We're now in Chumash HaPekudim, in Sefer Bamidbar, the book of numbers, of countings. There's always this boundary of numbers. But there's also sort of a something which is Asher Lo Yimad V'Lo Yisaf there, not to be counted, and that's represented by this opinion. And so that's what he does. Now I just want to say first of all conclude this with a little idea that the Maharal points out, which is fascinating and interesting. It's almost like just fascinating. And then his concluding word on this perek, which is about how does this happen, 60 babies in one tummy. Okay, so first he says like this. He says, think about it. So we have an opinion of 6 corresponding to the 6 directions. When Hashem spoke to Yaakov Avinu, he said to him, "Faratzta, you should expand Yom Avakeinu Avetzayinu V'Negva," in all 4 directions. And then, when Yitzchak spoke to Yaakov Avinu, actually it was first, when Yitzchak spoke to Yaakov Avinu, he gave him the bracha. What did he give him? He gave him from the dew of the heavens and the fat of the land, when Yitzchak spoke to Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu was blessed explicitly with the 4 ruchais and lamalu lamata, 6. Yitzchak Avinu, when did Yitzchak Avinu have children? When he was 60. V'Yitzchak ben shishim shana b'ledes esam. He was 60 when he had the children. 12 is the Shvatim, and Kanin is Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu was told that he would be Av Hamoin Goyim, the father of Hamoin. Hamoin is masses. That's a term of ribui, of innumerable ribui. So he says, in these 4 shitais, you have Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Shvatim. He says, Havin hadvarim ha'elu ma'oid, keim dvarim gedoilim kasher tavin. He says, understand this well, because when you understand it, you'll see how big it is. Okay, so that's a fascinating correlation. He finds a little Yaakov, a little Yitzchak, a little Avram, a little Shvatim, a dash of this, a bit of that. So it all works together in this thing. Im yesh l'cholev l'havin teida. He says, if you have a heart to understand this, you can know. So I have enough of a mouth to say it over. I don't have enough of a heart to understand it. Okay, but this is Zach the Maral. But then he comes to the closing bell here. Yeah.
Did the Klal Yisrael spread out from Goshen to everywhere? Did they fill the country in that
sense? It's a good question, and maybe Mirat Hashem will deal with it a little bit more as we, you know, later in the Gvuras, where we speak about exactly where Klal Yisrael was and where Klal Yisrael wasn't. There is this expression of Atimole Ha'aretz Oisam, and then, but then even much later, you know, by the Makos, it speaks about Klal Yisrael being in Goshen, but they were clearly also to some degree interspersed amongst the Egyptians. It's complicated. It's a complicated matter which I would want to defer for another time. The pasuk seems to describe they were all over the place.
And in Pesach, it's like Malcolm Malus had goes over one house to another house,
right? It wasn't just the ghetto, right? Absolutely. Okay, so there's a lot of ambiguity about that issue, and I'm not. It's not for right now. I can't. I'm not able to discuss right now. As the Maral, the question you've all been waiting for. How does one woman give birth to 60 babies at once? He says it wouldn't be a person. He says it would have to be that each baby was like a finger size. Right? How would that work? That wouldn't be able to have the image of a person. I mean, if you've seen a preemie, you know, it's at least a hand size. You know, it's not a. How on earth could this have happened? How on earth could this have happened? So this is like a typical question. Chazal say something, whoa, right? How on earth could that be? Does it jive with our real world when you look at that? 60 babies and one of 6, you know? It happens. It makes headlines, right? But it happens.
Like guppies.
Huh?
It's like guppies.
Yeah. How does this work? Says the Maral, you have to know how to read a Chazal. says, Da, haperushkach, shloihoila minia mitzar koecha hoilada. Rakecha toilada hoi a gorol ma'oid, shemitzar koecha toilada hoi a roi li oishishim, ima ya efshar li oisa mitzar ashir shalohem hoi u ad shishim. Af imoya mene mitzar achi, ki efshar li oishir gorolom kach, mikol mokom koecha toilada hoi ad shishim. This Klal Yisrael was incredibly fertile. Hashem gave them a power of fertility that was huge. The male fertility, the female fertility, because Bnei Yisrael paru vayishutzu vayirbu, they had the capacity, fertility-wise, to be able to have 60 children. There's only one problem. You can't fit 60 children in a belly. That's not a limit on the power of fertility. That's a limit on the execution. That's a limit on how it comes out. But what Chazal is describing here is the power which Hashem put into the Jewish people. It doesn't mean that 60 came out. It means that they had the power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each of them the power of Klal Yisrael as a prat, resonant of the Klal, that had the fertility power of Shishim. He says, what's the difference to have the power of 60? So he says, because if they didn't have the strength of the Toldat Shishim, it wouldn't be such a, they wouldn't have had such a powerful Toilada, and it wouldn't have been able to even do what it did do. So he says, Lefiach, Nasam Kaecha Teilada at Shishim, he says, it's still, you know, there was something. It didn't find the full expression of being able to make it happen because there wasn't the chaymer muchan. There wasn't the matter there that would be able to take it, that would be able to contain it. But the potential, the force, was there completely. And he says, and even though Chazal say, Hayu Yeldais Shishim Bekeres Echad, which makes it sound that 60 were born, it sounds like that. He says, the Vade Achashay Shotasham Ilway Efshe Commission is relevant, into Komasha Yeldin, Hayu Derech Toldo Shishim, Kikoch Kayach Hatelada. He says, the idea was that we can use that expression when the potential, that huge potential, was put into it, and it came out with that kind of power and that fertility in those children. We call it being born 60, even though 60 didn't actually come. You have to understand that we're not supposed to read Chazal like Amelia Bedelia listened to Mr. Rogers. You can't just take the words which they say and assume them to be absolutely literal, to ignore idiom, to ignore what some would call Lashon Guzma, right? They're excessive, exaggerated language. When they speak with that language, when Maral never would say, never doesn't accept Guzma to mean simply exaggerated, he wouldn't be happy with us using that word. It is always a scheme to it. When it says 60, it says 60 for a very specific reason. It's not an exaggeration which implies sort of a wildness. But it's a power and a potential that doesn't necessarily have to mean that this is when it came out. When Chazal, when Rabbi Bar Chana speaks about frogs that were as big as islands, it doesn't have to mean that the frogs were as big, were physically as big as islands. It just doesn't have to mean that. You have to understand what Chazal are trying to give us, what they're trying to picture, the concept, the power behind it, even if it is not that specific physical manifestation.
The seed that you cook, after Lada came out, in those six, in six strong babies instead of six preemies, they each one had the koyach of 10
within them.
Yeah.
That would be that. You know, that could be a way. that could be a way to do it. He doesn't get that specific to say that kind of a thing, but he says, you have to realize there's a nuclear reactor in here. There's a kerch to give birth to 60. Can it come out in the material world the way they were dealing? No, not necessarily. But that was the force that was in there. And in the end, he ends with like a very simple sort of example for this. He says, if Rahman al-Islam, a child is born and they're missing a finger. They don't have five fingers on each hand, they have four fingers on each hand. So you say, tell me something, the person didn't give birth to a child? Of course they gave birth to a child. Right? A little footnote is, a child, a human being, a five-fingered, five-toed human being. But one was missing. You understand? He says, Klal Yisrael were doing a Shishim Bikeres Echa thing. It couldn't come out that way, exactly. But that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. So it's an interesting comparison, which he's drawing. Because you would say, because people, that's your only frame of reference, you're a person. So you're not going to speak about a person with five fingers versus have a different name, call it a parson, if it has four fingers. This is the frame of reference. This is the normal frame of reference. 60 b'keres echad is like off the charts. It could never happen, argues, we're even suggesting here. It could never actually happen. But still, it's the baseline, because that's what went into it. That was the power. It couldn't be manifest. Right? This last piece of the Maral is the most general, most overall. Here we in this Perek Maral, as we said, we deal with a lot of details. Right? Why at this stage do they grow? Why at this stage do they become bitter? Right? Each thing, why six Bekerzach or 60 Bekerzach? Each one had its own detailed answer. Right? How applicable, you'll see. But this last thing, which Maral says, is just a rule. Whoa, whoa, whoa. When you're reading the Chazal, don't assume that this was a... the wives of Klal Yisrael were as big as apartment buildings, right? That they were able to have Shishim Bekeres Echad. No, it didn't necessarily come out Shishim Bekeres Echad. That's not necessarily what Chazal mean. Chazal are speaking conceptually, of what was going on over here, of the power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in them, that of course had to somehow function within some level of redeemedness. Okay. Good morning.